This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash, world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense.
So I know a lot of people have been asking us to talk about the Bendis announcement for Superman. And we promise we are going to get to that because Ryan and I have a lot of thoughts. But first, we have a special guest with us from the Taylor Network, Mr. Daryl Taylor himself.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
It's not like Daryl's been on here before.
I don't know, right?
Well, I guess he hasn't been on since the rebranding.
It was rebranded?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Rebranded, started over, all new, all different, all the same.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's our thing. Every time Marvel reboots, we reboot the podcast, even though we're not a Marvel podcast.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Next week, we got another one coming in a couple months. Yep. Next week, we'll be fresh start.
The all new, all different DC podcast.
That is Marvel. It's the same shit.
So,
I'm gonna end Deadpool, the dude Deadpool.
Yeah, with the same creative team continuing the same story.
Or worse.
Yeah. So, Ronnie, you said you were caught up on Black Lightning?
Yes, I am caught up.
Daryl, I'm assuming you've been watching Black Lightning.
Well, because I'm black, I've been watching Black Lightning.
That's because Aaron's racist.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Ronnie, you got me there.
Damn. Just for spite, I didn't watch it.
All right, that's fine. You can listen to us talk about it.
I watched it, though. I did.
I was assuming because I thought that's what you wanted to talk about.
In the meetings, we have to watch.
Oh, okay. So what are your thoughts on the show?
I'm enjoying it. I mean, they flip it. Like, I'm glad they do not stick with the cliche of, you know, continuing the same kind of stories that all the other CW shows kind of fall into.
Yeah, that's Ronnie and I have said that we like it because it feels more real life than the other shows. That even when Flash or Arrow do things that are based in real world situations, it still seems like weird and comic booky.
Yeah.
But that Black Lightning definitely, it's gone, you know, the whole way that it feels it, you know, I mean, with the exception of there's a guy that shoots lightning bolts out of his hands. It feels like most of the stuff that happens could actually be happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it's sweet, and even the changes, it surprises me. The stuff I think is going to happen doesn't happen. The villains you think are going to be the big bads later on are not.
Yeah.
You know, people are, secrets come out quickly as opposed to the same secret being held for like the whole entire season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You know, people are actually talking and something happens. They tell you stuff.
I thought this week's episode with, you know, his daughter talking to her mom, you know, was like the conversation you would expect to happen on a show. Hey, you know, we don't want you to do this because, you know, not because of, you know, whatever. It's because every time your father goes out, I worry, you know, is he going to come home? Is he this or whatever? Yeah. Not you have these amazing abilities. You have to use them.
Mm-hmm. Characters learn from each other. I mean, the mom was like, all the shit I've been telling you, it's like, she's going to do it. Like, I don't know, there's no point in me to keep telling her not to do it.
Right.
So, the smart thing to do is to be like, train her.
Yeah.
You're going to do it, train her the best way that you can so that she could be, you know, at least be as safe as she can be.
Yeah.
Like that's smart too. When characters are hypocrites, they say it.
Yeah.
You know, when it's like, how am I going to tell you not to do it? And then when something bad happens, I say, go do it.
Mm-hmm. Or right. I go do it myself.
Or I go do it myself, right? Yeah. So it's like, you have that going on. You have kids with friends. Like, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
No one ever has friends in any other show.
Yeah.
And they're actually, like, real life, like, diverse friends, too.
Yes.
You know, like, one's a nerd and one's a actual asshole kid, because mm-hmm. we all have those asshole friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you don't, then you are the asshole friend.
Like, Barry's like, how do you have a family? You've been adopted into a black family. You have a great job. You're not bumbling around like Clark Kent nerdy from the Donner films, right? There's no reason why he shouldn't have like a bunch of friends.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And yet we've not met not one friend. He's not had one friend in the entire, that's not a superhero that had to be his friend because there, you know, something happened, a meta or something.
Right.
Right.
Or a part of the team.
Like, Iris is fine as hell. No woman that fine has no friend.
Yeah.
True. Or guys fawning over her.
Well, like, I mean, she doesn't even have a job.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense for you to not have a job. Like, in Black Lightning, the mother has a job. The father has a job. The daughter has a job. Because in real life, you could be a superhero all you want to, but you still wouldn't need a job if you had powers.
Right.
Yeah.
The daughter actually has two jobs because she's a med student and a mm-hmm. teacher.
You see? I mean, like, there's little things like that matter. I mean, people think it's silly, but it matters. Like, little things like having a job, little things like having some kind of connection to the community, you know, it makes sense. But when it doesn't make sense when you don't, like, it just feels weird to me when you have no connections to anybody.
Yeah, because they don't feel like actual people, whereas, you know, on this show they do.
Exactly. You
know, with the exception of her stomping and crumbling a statue, I thought that was kind of ridiculous, but...
I don't know how her powers work, so
I don't know. I said that's right. I'm like, how is her stomping going to destroy a statue, but her stomping when she's fighting her dad in the office doesn't shatter the floor or something? Like, does she have that much control all of a sudden?
We have to find. I mean, I hope in the training we get to learn, like,
because
they do explain things in his thing. Like, his suit makes no sense because you could see it's him, right? Until they explained when he's in the suit, when he uses his powers, he gives off an aura.
Yeah.
That blinds people. So that makes sense. Like, you have to throw things out like that. Because I was like, I don't get why.
Yeah.
I would be like, isn't that the principle?
I mean,
if
we put sunglasses on, it's still us.
Yeah. It's like, you're not Black Lightning. You're the principal.
Yeah. I mean, he's got like a distinct beard. Doesn't even try to hide it.
Yeah. So it's like, and then I had to watch it again and I missed it when they said he gives off his electromagnetic field, gives off a kind of a blinding thing. It's like some kind of blur technology. Something like everything's out of phase when you look at it. It hurts your eyes.
Yeah. Like the kids were talking about it when they were talking to the news reporter or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And they were able to do that without having to say, we're telling you exactly why. He could walk around with damn goggles on his face and no one knows who he is.
Yeah. Right.
And when he fought his daughter, as soon as he looked at her, he said, that's my daughter. It's only my daughter with paint on her face.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't know when they were fighting each other. It was when...
No, because they were in the heat of it.
After she was knocked out, yeah.
Right. But when he came up to her, he looked. He was like, that's her. I know who that is.
Yeah, when he knocked her weave off. He's like,
I know my daughter. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, because it even also said about his voice modulation, too. Like, even though sometimes he doesn't say it or do it, like, when he's on the phone, but when he's talking to them, like, when he was talking to them at the hotel, I think, they said that his voice was muffled and stuff, too, so.
It have to be. There's no way you're kidding. It have to be, because the whole neighborhood knows him.
Right.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It's like, I need little things like that to make sense. I can't I don't fall into the camp of, it's just silly. So accept everything. I can't do it. I need shit to make sense to me. Some type of thing. Even if there's rules to your if there's rules to your show or whatever, your universe, I need to know the rules and then I'm good.
Right.
But then if you break your own rules, like Arrow, then I gotta go, you gotta get goddamn by. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean that's one thing why I stopped watching Flash was the episode after years of them being like, you have to keep your identity secret, even though they're telling everybody. He's on trial and Iris is just like, you have to tell them that you're the Flash and I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm like, what just happened? Like, why all of a sudden all of this ridiculousness? It doesn't make sense.
And Black Lightning isn't even, Jefferson's not even the most interesting character on the show. Because for me, Tobias is the most interesting character.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. I know why Tobias is an evil bastard. That's what I liked.
He's not a
twirling man, like out of nowhere. He's just like, I'm mean because I'm just mean.
Yeah, and he's the kind of bad guy that you expect is going to be done after a season, but I really hope he's not. You know, I hope somehow, you know, like Kingpin on Punisher, you knew that he was going to go down in flames, even though they were able to bring him back in the second season for a bit.
Right.
But like, it's the same kind of thing. I don't see how he can last, especially now that like everybody else that you thought was going to be around really isn't. But I mean, man, he is so good on that show that he easily is my favorite part. Him and Dexter's father.
Really?
Really?
Gamby?
Yeah. I mean, I got to figure out at some point they're going to explain to me how under his tiny tailor shop, he has this gigantic basement warehouse with the most amazing technology ever.
Right.
And he just spends his time designing suits. Well, like, I can't wait to see the suit he makes for the daughter.
Well, because
I don't even know about the, like, I need to know, how is he a part of this syndicate thing?
Yeah, the ecosystem thing that they
built. Yeah.
Yep.
Because it looks like they, like, broke down, a whole thing of, I can't take you guys out completely. So we'll do it this way. If you don't do too much bad or whatever, we can take out certain people.
Yeah.
But with that, it's like he, because she was like the head of the whole thing. She deferred to him. So I'm like, what the hell was Gambit doing?
Yeah.
Back in the day that the head of the Kingpin organization would give pause when he said something.
Yeah.
When she doesn't give pause for Tobias.
Right. Yeah, so how did he jockey into that position?
Yeah.
And stay in that position.
And stay in that position. He's like the safe zone. Like, you don't mess with Gambit.
Yeah, he's the token white guy of the show.
He's the token white guy of the show. And he's the dude that you're not to touch that shop.
Right, yeah.
Nothing is supposed to happen to that shop. You come in there, it better be about business.
And I'm wondering if when they finally do give more of his story, if they're going to do like a weird flashback episode.
They have to.
You know, like 10, 15 years, or I mean, however long he started his thing, who knows?
It have to. There's no other way. And it'd be some shit if you find out that he dropped dime on his father.
Yeah.
To save the son, maybe. Like, I could see him that being the case. Like, he's not.
Right.
Like, he... It was either you give us, you know, one of them or we take them all out type of thing.
Yeah.
With those kids, those metas.
Yeah, there's got to be something there because it seems like it's like the domino effect with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do something, but yet he's sacrificing this one thing for this other thing. And then it just snowballs from there.
I mean, he's a killer. He kills. He came in there and just shot up a whole, you know, a whole spot.
Yeah.
So he's had bit. He's done. He knows how to do it.
Yeah.
So a little too well for somebody who never did it before. So
yeah,
that makes me think he was some type of like. It's funny how he looked like the Shadow, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say that too.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be funny. It'd be some weird if he was some kind of Shadow like. Guy, like some kind of, you know, that was kind of vigilante he was, like, right. A killer.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, he kind of stopped or whatever it was, or he was like, if he could say, get, if he can maintain the peace or something, then, you know, then that's what he decided to do. But
yeah, because it seems like his shop is, you know, the neutral ground.
Yeah, they don't,
where, you know, you could, I mean, I could see a couple of the people, you know, like in, mm-hmm. in West Side Story, where they meet at the little ice cream parlor mm-hmm. to talk. I could see them using his shop.
Well, that comes out of a real, in real life, even in bad neighborhoods where there's gangs and stuff, there's always a focal point, right? There's always a place where it's like he knows everybody. And that's, they're usually either like barbershops, churches,
school gym.
School, yeah,
community school, centers.
Certain community centers, certain, even actually suits and stuff too, like places like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's, you know, even on the show when, in like the first or second episode when they came into the school,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, you know, this place is off limits.
Right.
You know, that's the agreement. You don't go here.
Even Tobias flipped when he said, "You did what?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he finally found out, he was like, "You went to the school?"
Yeah.
And he beat the shit out of him. He was like, whoa, we don't, you're not supposed to do that. I'm evil, but we don't do that.
Yeah, because, you know, again, feels like real life.
Yeah, like, I could kill a preacher and stuff for reasons, but I don't want a drug on the street that kills the user. Because that doesn't make sense, right? Why would you want, if you want to keep making money, why would you want a drug on the street that kills the user?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You need to keep making money off of the guy before he dies. So that was, I was so happy when Tobias said that. I was like, thank you. Yeah. Why would you want it? He's like, I don't want this on the street.
Yeah.
You're killing my customers.
Yeah. Because there's no profit in it.
There's no profit in it. It's about profit. It's not about him being moral or whatever. It's about the money. If he can't pay me when he's dead.
Yep.
I need him hooked and buying for years. Like little stuff like that. Yeah. Total sense.
Yeah.
Do either one of you know who the Joanne Davis at the end, who she played?
I thought she was the mother that got murdered, she looked like, but I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure that she was like an award-winning reporter or something.
Okay. Is that what she was? I thought like the mother that got killed.
I mean, maybe she appeared on the show?
Yeah.
That he killed. She looked like the mother that he murdered.
Yeah, she played on the show, but I couldn't picture who it
was. So that might be who it is.
Okay.
Yeah, remember the mother that got gunned down and she was trying to save her daughter? That's who she looked like.
Okay.
I thought that was her. And it would make sense since that's the real Anderson he murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense then. I was just trying to figure it out because I was like, well, who haven't we seen for an episode?
And I just can't, and I don't get either. Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't even get that though. If that's her, how is that even happening? Like, why? First of all, why is he back? Who brought him back? And if that is the tattoo, like, what is the significance of that tattoo?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, and not like you said, I don't, that was the one thing that confused me in the last episode where, like, do you believe in resurrection or something, and then mm-hmm. turns into dust and is now it. I'm like, I am confused.
Yeah, I think that's her. I totally think that's her.
Yeah,
because it looks so much like her.
I thought that was okay. So that's who that was then. I thought it was Tobias' sister, like his real sister, not the white crazy
one that
girl.
Got killed.
Yeah.
No. That wasn't.
No, her. No, that wasn't her. That wasn't
okay.
her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then so, yeah, because now it's like each episode ends with a great cliffhanger, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate when I know it. Yeah.
And I started just skipping the scenes from next week because I'd rather just watch.
Yeah, I didn't even watch it either.
Yeah, I forget what it was, but like a couple episodes ago, Ronnie was saying something. Oh, no, I guess it was in Gotham. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he's like, oh, that was you were telling me about the scenes for next week. I was like, yeah, maybe I just blinked or spaced and just didn't even pay attention to what that was.
Yeah, it was the part where Bruce saw Batman.
Oh, yeah.
As the bat.
Oh, right. The hallucination.
Yeah.
I like that, though. That was cool.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah. So you caught up on books too?
Some. I have all of them, but most I'm quite, a lot of them I'm
so, to my world.
So out of all the new the Age of Hero books, which one is your favorite one?
I enjoyed the Terrifics, the first issue, a lot. I would only say the first issue, the only problem with the first issue is that it felt like there was a whole nother issue before it.
Like a setup issue?
Yeah, it felt like there was a setup issue before it, and...
But isn't that what Metal is?
Somewhat, but even with that, like, it's not. It's only one more issue left. We haven't really
That's the thing. I thought that Metal was supposed to finish before all these books came out because that's how it led into it. But in typical DC fashion, the event is not done and the next books are happening. So I quit reading it, but I assume that they're going to explain more of what happened going into this book.
What? Which one? You quit reading Metal?
Yeah.
Well, I'm up to date with Metal and they have not yet.
No, I assume in the last issue it'll give you something.
I don't know how they would, not all of this information. I don't know how they would do with this. And there is one thing about Lemire that he can be pretty slow in beginnings of stories at times. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he, knowing that, if he was trying to come into it like running. To not be that way. Right. I wonder if he was trying to go against type and running, you know, trying to come into it like hitting the ground running kind of thing.
Instead of slowly getting into it?
Instead of doing the Lemire thing, to usually be very slow.
Like his new Image book?
Like every book he does. It's not an insult, it's just the truth. His books start out very slow, like Black Hammer and all that. And I read Black Hammer, but still, he had to do a four-part miniseries before the series even started. Mm-hmm. Like explaining each character so that he could get the book going.
Like a table setter type thing.
Yeah. He needed like a table setter because that's how he writes. Mm. Like, I can only imagine how Sentry's going to be. Sitting in a doctor's office for 2 hours.
I was just gonna say, like, his big two stuff I'm not really a huge fan of, as opposed to
he writes timid. He doesn't take chances on his writing, and I don't know why. Like, you gotta take chances with your writing. You should do it with your indie stuff, and you should do it with your mainstream stuff. And because when you don't, it's bland.
I thought that his Green Arrow was out there for him. It's not, you know, like his Green Arrow one I thought was fantastic.
It had some arcs that I enjoyed. He had the benefit of having a really good artist to help. That made it stronger than it was, I think. The art really helped with that. But... Right. Again, I still think he falls into very safe guidelines. Like, depression is his bag. That's right. His bag for everything, right? That's his thing. He
would probably kill it on Green Lanterns, like with...
Probably, yeah. He would probably Jessica kill Cruz it on Green Lanterns. Stuff. Yeah, he would probably kill it on Green Lanterns. Yeah, for sure. Writing about depression. That probably would have been the better book for him. That he could deal, he could use his tricks that he does.
Yeah.
With, you know, I'm sad, man. I'm really sad. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, and I have kids, and my kids are sad, and I have to be a father to my kids. I mean, I'm making fun of it, but I'm not saying he's a bad writer, but I'm just saying every writer has their thing that they're connected to.
Has their strengths and weaknesses, yeah.
Yeah, and he, that's his thing. Damage, I get the Hulk part of it because I did read those old Hulks back in the day where you got the Damage first, like the aftermath of being the Hulk, and then you'd get the Hulk. Venditti is going that way and kind of letting the art do the heavy lifting. It's not the strongest in writing. It's just pretty much like an aftermath.
See, I thought type that thing. the second issue took a big step forward, that the first one was just chaos and destruction of this monster. Mm-hmm. The second one, you got a lot of who he was.
And, yeah, that's how Hulk, you know, did. What I was mean, happening. Hulk, yeah, that's how Hulk, back when it started, it was Hulk did a lot of damage and stuff. And then the next issue, you had Bruce dealing with the aftermath of it. He would come out of it, and then you get a little bit more story of what happened.
Right.
That's how they kind of told it back then. So I don't know if I haven't spoken to Robert, but since he did this, but I wonder if he's going that route a little bit.
Well, do you think that there was a directive from up above that all the books should go kind of in that direction, like the old school Marvel feel?
Maybe, because Sideways was a lot of. Sideways was opposite of the Terrifics. It was a lot of setup, like a lot before you even. I don't even know the way the book is going to be after the first issue.
Right.
Like, it was a lot of setup in Sideways. It's like, you know, just, let me show you that I have superpowers. Let me flashback to my parents being murdered, how it happened. Let me, you know, let you see my
dumb YouTube channel.
Let me see. Like, yeah, he's not taking this seriously right now. I foresee the tragedy coming, you know, in a couple of issues. Somebody's right. going to die because he's not taking himself too serious yet, as he should.
Yeah. The second issue, I think, is out this week.
Yeah,
I think so.
This week, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious to see where that goes.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be the girlfriend dying or the adopted mom dying or... You know, or they'll go the route of just maybe an innocent, just somebody in the public just not getting killed.
Or he drops his phone while he's recording himself and the screen cracks.
Or he drops his phone and he vows vengeance.
See, this book would be like a premier candidate for DC Inc. to me. For that young adult line.
See, I don't know, because I think that this one's going to get darker.
Yeah, that's. I don't think it'll be... I don't think it'll be as dark as they would allow you to be.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that this one, at first, it kind of has that, like, Gotham Academy feel.
Right.
But I think that it's definitely going to go in a different direction as it keeps going on.
Well, I hope so. That, to me, Sideways, to me, for me, is the number one out of those. But
I don't even know if that's... I need another issue. It's I don't know what it's going to be like yet, because it was just too much. It was so much put in it. I don't know how the book is actually going to be day to day. That felt like an ash can or a
like a promo book.
Promo book or something. Yeah. It felt like that. So I can't really deduce I can't even deduce what the motivation of the lead character is going to be yet.
Well, like, do you think that these books would have benefited, you know, or maybe Sideways more from waiting until May and maybe having like a free comic book day, like a lead in or something, or even?
No, because nobody pays attention to those type of free comic book day books.
I don't know. The Lion Forge one last year is pretty awesome.
I mean, that was Lion Forge company. I mean, I'm talking about mainstream. We're talking about mainstream. People want to know what's going to happen with Marvel and DC. People want to know what's going to happen with the bigger universe when you do those. That's what it's turned into. Free comic book day is turned into, for the mainstream books, let's see the direction of the whatever event is coming out of.
Right, because Marvel's last year was like Secret Empire Zero, I think.
Yeah. They're all like that. Like, it's, you know, and we got to pay that. We spent a lot of money for this dude. We got to pay this money. We got to get this money back for paying for this dude. So everything's going to be Superman, 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 Superman. Like, what is the status quo for Superman? And it's going to be that, and it's going to be Batman, because just Batman has just been selling very well for them. Like, even for a Batman book, Batman has been selling very well.
Right. Like all incarnations of Batman, period, right? Like, not just Tom's, but like Sean Murphy's and...
Yeah, Sean Murphy's book has been doing very well. Batman's been doing very well. Detective went down some, but they're changing the writer on that one. He's finished, and then he's moving to Justice League. I'm just going by sales. But the miniseries, they've some of those minis have been doing very well for them.
Right.
So yeah, yeah, I would say that. Yeah, that's kind of the case.
You read The Silencer?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed that book. Yeah. I enjoyed that book the most, and I guess because it didn't make me think of. I know it sounded like Elektra if she got married and had a kid.
Right.
But it didn't. When I read it, it didn't feel like I'm reading someone trying to write Elektra as if she had a kid. It felt like I'm reading this is a hit woman who got out of the life. Feels more like it feels more like the kind of books that whatchamacallit likes to do. I can't think of his name now. I should know. Jimmy Palmiotti. He writes a lot. He likes that gangster stuff, right? He's written quite a bit of books with there's a hitman or a hit woman who's trying to stay out of the life but can't. He loves it.
There was a TV show about Painkiller Jane, right?
That was her deal. Painkiller Jane. He's done a couple of Kickstarters that I've supported years ago where it was the same deal too, where there was a hit woman. She got out the life. They kept pulling her back in. She had to kill everybody to get back out.
Yeah,
that type of thing. So he loves it. So I like that idea with Silencer. I do. I enjoyed those two because it didn't even feel like I was reading a DC book.
Yeah,
it just felt like I was just reading a book. You know, just a. It could have been just a freaking image book for all I know.
Yeah,
didn't.
Speaking of, like, JRJR's art in it reminded me of, like, his art in Kick-Ass, say.
Yeah,
like, All-Star or the other stuff.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to, this is not him, he doesn't have to copy or come behind anybody else's character that's been in the world for a long time. It's on the low, it's a Batman family book, because
with Talia.
Yeah, she was one of the League of Assassins.
Yep.
And I'm so surprised that they didn't advertise it as that.
They did mention more sales. Some of the stuff that I read, they did talk about it, but it wasn't like a main selling point.
No, but I mean, it should have been a main selling point. Like, this is a Batman family book on the low. Like, this is one of the League of Assassins. This is the League of Assassins type of thing.
Yeah, because that in itself brings a whole interesting curiosity as well.
Yeah, yeah. So it just really, really, really surprised me. I meant to bring that up when I recorded last week. I mean, the last Gotham by Geeks. I totally forgot to bring it up. But yeah.
You couldn't get it word in edgewise last week.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, I think I might wait until there's a trade of that one and maybe pick it up and give it a shot.
That book feels like it's like a finite ending.
Yeah.
That book, out of all of them so far, that book really feels like the book that has a finite ending. Like we got 12 done and we move on to the next whatever project. Whoever else is in the next slot to do another book.
Yeah.
Can come in.
Because you can definitely feel that there's a beginning, middle, and end for that character.
Yeah. Yeah, her motivation is to get out of life. You finish this war with Leviathan. Even that, the whole thing with Leviathan and League of Assassins, all of that is Batman.
Yep.
Mm.
So it's like, once she finishes that, you know, go back, get your kid and your husband and go on about your business. Which is fine. Out of all of them, I'd rather that. Like, you know, I'd rather that be the case for this. And then if it sells enough, then you can bring back and do another mini or something.
Yeah, instead of drag it out or cut short, even.
Right. Just let it finish. What's the other one? Are you sideways, Silencer? Damage
and Terrifics. Those are the four.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think there's another new one starting this week.
I don't think so.
No, I think those are the four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Sideways has the second issue coming out, but I don't think that there's another one starting yet.
No.
I think four is best.
Yeah. Four is the only ones that I saw advertised, I thought.
No, there's a bunch more.
What? You're crazy.
Is it?
The New Age of Heroes?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more.
Uh-oh.
I'm typing.
I can hear you, Jack.
I just thought it was a few of these, and then it...
No. There's The Immortal Men, which is Jim Lee. Curse of Brimstone is coming out. New Challengers, The Unexpected. There's at least four more.
I totally forgot about all of that.
Yep, me too.
Yeah.
I should know better.
Yeah, you should definitely know better.
I don't know why I didn't realize.
Yeah, I'm looking at what's coming out this week. I don't see another one, but there are definitely more of them. So,
yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because there's the one Jim Lee's doing that he'll do the art for a bit and then it'll start slowing down and then somebody else will take over.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way. There's no way he's staying on that book.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Brimstone and The Immortals and Challenges of the Unknown. And oh, yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Well, I know some books are ending soon, so I guess they could fill those slots of the books that are ending.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, these aren't DC proper titles.
They're not DC proper.
900 imprints that they're doing now.
Yeah, these are the ones that are supposed to be the books coming out of coming out of Metal. That's not done yet.
Mm.
And that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's the way everything is going, though. Everything is mini labels under banners, under bigger banners. I mean, you saw that with IDW, what they had Interprint under them. Dark Horse has a print under theirs with Karen Berger.
Yep.
Boom
has like two or three prints.
Yeah, they have two or three prints under them. Marvel, I guess, would do there eventually, I guess. But they had prints. It just didn't really sell anything because they had Millar did some stuff out of it and Bendis did some stuff out of it.
Yeah.
And it really didn't move any papers.
Right, so. But the Bendis stuff is now going to be its thing in DC.
Right. No, I figured that'd be one of the things that they give him the incentive to come over is to bring all his properties. Yeah, his independent properties and allow him to keep putting it out.
So, yeah, because, I mean, they're kind of redoing Vertigo. They got the new Sandman universe that's coming out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Some other writers are going to be on it.
I don't know what to think about that. Like, I'm very interested, but
I want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like four books, right, for four houses. Which one?
Yeah, I like seeing new writers. Like, I'm excited to see new writers, and they're not the same kind of writers that I hear about all the time.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It's,
and he's just going to overshadow everything, right?
Right.
Yeah, just kind of story like, pointers and... You know.
That's what I want. That's pretty much what I want. I would love. I like to see them getting some new blood because I don't want to keep seeing the same dudes or the same kind of dudes writing the same. You know, writing like four books.
Right.
Mm.
I'd rather. Yeah, it's just like you're getting the same kind of voices. I mean, no disrespect to Donny Cates and Matthew Rosenberg, but they're doing so many goddamn books titles.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, what, three or four? It's like each.
Well, it's the same thing. Yeah. Nick Spencer's got a whole bunch over there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And it's just
Jim Zub is doing a whole bunch over there.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. It's so many of the same, like five, six dudes, it feels like.
Yeah, that's one thing I really have liked about Rebirth, that even though, you know, characters are in different books written by different people, They have the feel of those writers, but they still all feel like the same character.
Right.
Which is, you know, a nice touch. It's not like, you know, the Batman that shows up in this book isn't going to do something different than the Batman that shows up in this book. And, you know, I can see her doing that in her book and Birds of Prey and Nightwing and Detective and whatever. It all, you know.
Well, that's just like in the last Detective. When he brought all of them together, they all kept their voice. Like I really enjoyed how he kept that voice of all of them. Like Barbara would be analytical about it because she's always in her head. And Jason just went through a whole thing with Batman with forgiving Jason and Jason forgiving Bruce.
Right. Yeah.
For years of nonsense, you know, like you didn't do it my way. kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
So they went through that, and you got to hear that discussion. And, you know, like, and of course, Dick is going to want to redeem everybody. So.
Right. And then you have Damien's...
Damien's a dick.
Yeah.
So he's going to be... I don't think any of you guys are worthy. So
Yeah, right.
That's Damien. That is totally Damien. And I like that. So...
Yeah. And, this last arc, or starting with that...
Mm-hmm.
Well, not that issue, but like two issues before, it has really jump-started that book again for me. Really. I don't know why, but it seemed like it was on the high, and then it kind of leveled out for me, and then this last arc has really pushed it back up there for me.
Oh, because it's back, it's ending. This is his, you know, he's ending his story. He's wrapping up a lot of, this whole thing of Bruce from the beginning, I only did this team because I didn't want her to be on the other team.
Yeah.
And now it came back to bite him in the ass because he should have told her. And, of course, Bruce is Bruce, and his first reaction is to not tell.
Right, yeah.
And so it comes back to bite him in the ass again. So, yeah, so he's wrapping that whole thing up. So it's good. I think if they had kept the one thing that they had kept out of the book probably would have the run would have been a lot more consistent is if he had not bothered putting spoiler in it. It's just, I don't think they have a take for spoiler yet of what to do with her.
But they needed spoiler in it to do the whole thing with Tim.
Not really. They could have had Tim date spoiler, but she didn't have to be spoiler. She could have just worked with Leslie Tompkins and just been a reoccurring character.
See, the only one that I would say that would be like Bluebird. Isn't that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She took the spot that probably spoiler should have gotten because that probably would have been better. Bluebird, they didn't, again, nobody, you know, Scott Snyder made her, but he didn't know what to do with her. So they put her there working with Thompson, but you could have swapped her out and just put Stephanie in that role.
Yeah. I think the best Bluebird ever was in that, was it 5 years later book?
Yeah.
When New 52 did it and she was his Robin.
Right.
That was, you know, and I've been waiting since then. I've been waiting for her to be the same. And it's just, if she even shows up.
Where are you going to do it? You have no time. Like, that's the problem. You made too many. There were just too many characters added to it. You don't have time in order to use them. So you just have her just, you know, to have a work. Good job. Just work a regular job. There's no reason why they couldn't have had an issue, you know, a couple of scenes or whatever of spoiler talking, spoiler and Tim and what, you know, them talking or whatever together. Like just having a conversation. You know, you can kind of get the same thoughts out in that conversation of what Tim's been going through or whatever. You can get the same stuff out of it. You didn't need the rebellious spoiler.
Mm.
Right.
Stuff.
Right.
Like, it's just, I don't think she helped the book at all.
So we got a couple of questions, actually, and a couple of them are good ones. Nick wants to know all of our thoughts on the Wildstorm.
All of our thoughts on the Wildstorm? Or can I just say it's awesome?
Your answer could be it's awesome.
I like it. I mean, I'm so behind that I had to read it in trade. Like, I had the digital trade for it, so I read it. I've been reading it that way. Plus, I've been reading
Michael Cray.
Yeah, Michael Cray too, and I love Michael Cray. I love that whole thing of him. These DC characters in this universe that are just like effed up versions of the superheroes that we know from DC. So I like that. I like that whole. It really fits.
Yeah,
it really fits. Like Brian Edwards, I'm digging. I hope they do more with Brian because he's, again, he's like a different, he writes a different style.
Right.
Right.
So I'm digging how he made Michael Cray his own. I like how he, you know, not trying to duplicate the same thing that I read years ago.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, my only problem with Michael Cray is I wish that the art held up to the writing. That, I mean, that book, some of the pages just look like a mess to me. It hurts. I mean, I don't want to say it really like hurts my enjoyment of the book, but I think it's the only thing keeping that book from being like an A+ for me.
It's not the strongest. Like, they didn't give him like, they gave him a solid artist, meaning that he can maintain it and you can tell what's going on and all that kind of stuff. But it's not a, it probably should have gave him a little bit, an artist with some more kick, like with Wildstorm, like, you know, John Davis, when those scenes of, you know, when Kray is shooting the crap out of people, mm-hmm. they're amazing. Right.
Right.
Like, I mean, the whole thing with the door and fighting, you know, and the guy busts through the door and Michael had to, you know, flip over him and shoot him and shoot him again. And then and the dude, you know, he has some kind of power where he doesn't go down right away. Like, those are amazing. So they should have given him something like that, an artist like that, to kind of carry it so more people would check it out.
Right.
For me, I'm really enjoying it, but I wasn't like heavy into it like you guys were. So, like, some of the Easter egg type things, like the obvious Easter eggs I catch, or the callbacks, you know, to the old series. But, like, some of them, like, just goes over my head that you guys pick up on. But I'm really enjoying the hell out of it, because it seems more like a modernized, toned-down espionage type book instead of, like, a sci-fi alien-esque story. Or just that, I guess. Like the old one did.
Yeah, they went more Alan Moore version than they did Jim Lee version in the beginning.
Right. I would probably actually say at this point that The Wildstorm is my favorite book DC is putting out. I think it's taken over from Deathstroke for me.
What? For real? Mm.
Yeah, wow. Seriously. I mean, listen, I'm still enjoying the hell out of Deathstroke, but some of the stuff with, Defiance, it's not hitting as much as it was before. But, I mean, you know, it went from being my favorite book to being my second favorite book, so.
Well, because of that image that you showed me, took me down a whole different rabbit hole.
with Punisher being in the annual.
Yeah. Have you read that one, Daryl? The Deathstroke annual?
No, I didn't read the annual yet.
Okay, well, this isn't a spoiler, so. There's a panel in there with a guy, and he looks like the Punisher.
Mm. Oh, he's in more than one panel. Well, That's the one I sent you.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that I went down a deep rabbit hole. Like, even that I talked about Quasar 17 on Retrocast with Rob Krieger and Chris Ivey.
Mm-hmm.
Because that in that story, it's a cosmic space race, basically.
Right.
And a guy comes out from the race. And he has yellow boots and tattered red trunks on, and he doesn't know who he is, and he thinks his name sounds something like Buried Alien instead of Barry Allen, and he doesn't know where he's at, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I went down that rabbit hole deep. Like,
yes, you did.
Like, well, it just piqued my curiosity, like, how many nods are out there of, you know, artists or writers drawing for one or the other, or writing for one or the other that nod over to the other company or other heroes of the company type thing.
Yeah, that's always a favorite thing of mine, is when you're looking at like a giant crowd scene, because there's always like, it always seems like they slip something in there.
Yeah.
You know, there's someone in the crowd or something in the background, and hopefully it's not, you know, like
racist.
racist signs on buildings and things like that, which I guess has happened also.
Yeah, that's Marvel. They did that. They let that slip a couple of times.
But yeah, I always get a kick out of it. And that's why when I was reading the Deathstroke annual, and there's a guy in the black trench coat and a black shirt, and it's a scribbled, you know, it's a sloppy, but it still looks like the skull shirt.
Right.
And oh my goodness, I started laughing so hard. And as I'm reading the book, I'm like, this is amazing. I just love the fact that this guy is in this.
Yeah. It would have been cooler if his name was Francis instead of Larry, though.
Yeah, that's the one problem.
So another question from Nick is, Daryl, will you finally revisit Olive Garden since they have Italian nachos?
What are Italian nachos exactly?
I don't even know.
he sent the link to them on the Twitter, and they look amazing, actually.
I've tried Olive Garden in another area, and it did taste better than the other Olive Garden. But still, Olive Garden is still too much of the fast food restaurant equivalent.
Yeah,
of Italian food. Like I have Italian restaurants that I go to that are home, like they're straight up homemade Italian restaurants. Like they are genuine Italian restaurants, and once you taste that food, you cannot.
I have a friend from out of town. Well, he's from here, but he now lives in a different state, and his wife is from the other state. And they were here on the East Coast for, I don't remember what, but they're like, oh, we should go out to dinner. You know, let's get good Italian food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, perfect. We're right outside New York City. There is literally 1,000 good Italian restaurants that we could go to.
Yep.
They made reservations at the Olive Garden.
Because that's what they are taught as tourists.
I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing this?
That's why they don't know any better. They're taught that because that's the place. When you go to another area, what is the thing? You go to, it's like Italian food. They go to Olive Garden. If you go to get any type of other food, like burgers or whatever, what is the first thing they say? Ooh, Applebee's, right?
Yeah.
And it's,
or it's Fridays.
Just, or Fridays, because that's what they know. That's what they tell, you know, that's what they encourage. It's the name brand for tourists that they can remember. But no, that's not real food. That's if you want some wings out of, it's late at night and it's the only thing that will be open. you need some wings real quick. You know, you got some alcohol in your system. You need to soak it up. You go to nacho fries, I guess.
No, because there are still places in the city you can get good food from at 3 o'clock in the morning.
If you're in the city, I'm talking about if you're not, and you're stuck, and your Uber or your Eats is only going to get you so far.
A Grand Mac
or something. Oh man.
Yeah. Okay, so another one for you, Daryl. Chris Campbell wants to know: is he the great co-host or is he the greatest co-host?
When he's sober, he's the greatest co-host. Though I can't. He's good. Listen, he is good. Nobody does charts like him. He can do charts. He knows his. When I need him to know issues and stuff, he knows it. He can pull it out. He's like, it's in his brain. He's got the black book. He's got that lawyer brain. So he remember all those little details. So he is pretty great. But I do have some other great hosts too. I mean, so
unlike the rest of us, who the more we drink, the better we get. That's the opposite with Chris.
Well, you know, I have to reel him in. So when he gets too many drinks in, I have to put the smack down to contain him. You know,
if Daryl is trying to reel somebody in, then he's way off the rails.
Well, it's funny on Gotham by Geeks because Daryl has that dad voice, and he'd be like, "Are you done?
Are you done? you gotta do it. You gotta." Man, or else we're talking about shelves and shit for like 3 hours. Like, can't have that. So we gotta reel it in sometimes to get them together. It's my job. I have to do that to keep the show moving.
Right.
So that's what we get.
To keep it on the rails, or at least kind of.
Exactly. You have to keep it somewhat on the rail. I mean, I'm fine with it being off the rails. That's fine. Because we get into a lot of deep cuts when we get off the rails, but when it gets a little too off the rails, then I have to
off the rails and starting on the fire.
Yeah, I have to be like, all right, now you gotta calm it down.
I do want to tell you though that the one with Martin and where him and Russ and Chris was talking about the Mondo Prince. And you kind of loosen the reins a little bit and let them talk about that, and then the collecting part of it.
Yeah,
I like that part because they were still talking Batman stuff. So
no, as long as it's still Batman stuff, I keep the. I don't stop that. Like we have the collection stuff in there. We got the auction stuff. I keep that. That all gets to stay.
Yeah.
Once you start talking about campers and refrigerators and stuff, then TVs. I gotta go. All right, okay, gotta get back. Gotta get back on point now. So that's my job. I gotta be dad.
Nice.
That's, any more questions?
Nope, that's the last that was one it. That made it.
Hmm. Well, I got a question for Darryl.
Hmm?
Out of all the DC stuff now, what are you enjoying the most?
Besides, Wildstorm, Deathstroke, Batman, of course, Detective, Birds of Prey. I'm really getting into Hal Jordan and the Guardians. I like that. Like, it's in a good place right now, yeah. So I'm really digging that. Again, I like Silencer out of that group. I dig that book too. What else am I digging? I know there's more. Superman, as it's, you know, before it's all destroyed and taken away from me. I've been enjoying that. What else? Because I'm so behind. Like, in Wonder Woman, I'm so behind. I'm like, I don't know what Robinson's doing on that book.
Yeah, I sort of lost interest when it switched creators.
I just forget. Like, there's so much stuff I got going on, and I just can't read everything. I just forget. So that I'm behind in. Aquaman I'm behind in.
Oh, Aquaman's so good.
But I'm like five behind in that, and I'm behind Batgirl. I kind of gave up. I'm so behind. I don't know when I'm going to be able to catch up. It just had to wait for it to just be trades, and I just read the trades because I'm just so behind. It's I feel bad because I'm doing a Batman podcast and I should be caught up, but it just got away from me. I just not have been able to catch up to it. Hopefully in the summertime I'll catch up on Batgirl and then we can do a show on it.
I got so swamped with other things that I fell behind on like pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Ronnie, I was trying to catch up on, I think, Teen Titans? No, Super Sons. And it was when Super Sons did the cross. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to read some Super Sons. Then I get up to a point, it's like, you know, the next issue, you know, continuations in Superman. I was like, crap, I'm like six behind on that. So I start reading Superman. Then I finally read the next part of the crossover, and it's like the next one is going to be in Teen Titans. I was like, damn it, I'm like six behind. So it was like 2 days where I'm just playing catch up just to read one crossover event.
Yeah, I caught up on Super Sons. I forgot, you just reminded me about Super Sons. Yeah, I had caught up on that because I did the same thing. I was behind on it, and then I caught up on all of it because of, and then caught up on the little event that they did. I really like that book, and then it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And then done in a YA thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
In Zoom, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a...
DC Zoom book?
It's going to be a Super Sons. They rename it. It's going to be named Super Sons, but it's going to be them in school and...
Yeah. Like without the suit. Type thing.
I guess so.
Yeah, because the problem is, like, one of the strongest things in Rebirth is Jonathan Kent.
Yeah, and Lois.
And it seems like they're doing everything they can to get rid of that for some reason.
Yeah, it's going to surprise me. If Bendis gets rid of Lois and John, I don't know. That's going to be crazy because that's what built it back up.
Yeah.
I mean, those books have been pretty strong because of, you know, they like that book organically came out of because the Superman Lois and Clark Convergence book did so well.
Right.
That's basically how it came about. Like all of Superman came out of that, where they had to like read they basically had to look at what people were reading. They couldn't push people there. It was one of those things where it's like they could tell you this is the book you're supposed to be reading, but nah, people were like, that's the book I want to read.
Yeah.
and then you had to go along with it.
What do you think of the Kristen Wiig casting in Wonder Woman 2?
I don't see it, but I mean, I don't see it. I don't that's, see it that's, at all.
That's where I'm at.
I don't that, see her I'm as excited. The cheetah, but I see her as the doctor because the doctor is nerdy.
Right.
Like, but I don't, the cheetah part, I don't know.
I am excited to see the character in the movie.
Yeah.
And when my wife texted me, she was like, did you hear about this? I was like, of course I heard about this. She's like, I don't know, it's kind of stupid. And I, through text messages yesterday or Friday, I forget which, I'm trying to explain the entire back history of Cheetah to her because she's like, it's such a stupid character. I'm like, no, character's awesome if done well. But like, I don't see her being in a fight scene with Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around. But I mean, listen, the first movie was great, and it's the same people doing the second one.
Right.
So I have full faith that it's going to be written well and it's going to be done well. So,
I mean, because she's played the broken scientist, I mean, the broken nerdy character before, and I can see that part of it for Cheetah.
But I hope that she doesn't do it like her Ghostbusters character, where it's just like silly slapstick, because that's
no,
I go see Marvel movies.
I think what got her that role, you and me too, brother. I think what got her that role was there was a couple of indie films where she basically played a dude. I think it was one movie where she played a character where these two mean kids who were they pretended to be a pen pal of another guy. They pretended they were another guy and they were messaging her.
Yeah,
that they liked her, and she was really like isolated. She played a character that was very isolated, shut off from the world, you know, very, you know, alone, partly almost depressed to a point. It was a serious movie.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's the wig they want. That's probably what they saw.
The skeleton twins? Does that sound right?
No, that's the one with Bill Hader, where they're brother and sister.
Oh. Yeah, that's the, but that's similar character too. She played a serious character with that too.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not denying that she's talented, but I don't, the first movie, like, I really enjoyed the action. I just don't see her and Wonder Woman having a fist fight.
Yeah, that's the action part. I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I can't right now see that part of it, but I can see the first part of it when they develop that character.
I think she's going to do fantastic with, you know, at the start of the story. Absolutely. It's just the ending that I'm...
And you don't want it to be a CGI thing, because even as great as Black Panther is, the worst part of that movie is at the end when they got the suits on and they're doing that CGI fight in the air type. So you don't, it's something you don't want to do too much. If they can do a character where Wonder Woman can fight someone and you don't have to worry about too much with the CGI, it could just be the two characters going at it.
Right.
It'd be better. That's been the problem lately with a lot of third act movies, right? Superhero movies where they go full CGI.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. There have been a lot of them they go from being very real to very cartoonish very quickly.
So it's rough. So you hope that that's not something that they need to do too much of. Like if they continue to do that Superman movie and they do Brainiac, he should be, that's fine. Like, he's going to be fighting, you know, you're going to be fighting cybernetic, you know, creations and stuff. So that's okay.
Right.
It should be CGI partly, at least. But when you're fighting that, you know, that person, and you're fighting a 101 person, yeah, that's the thing where you like, maybe we can do a villain where you can get away from it a little bit.
Right.
And have it a little bit more a straight up battle.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, this is, if you think about it, Batman versus Superman had Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wonder Woman had
Ares.
Yeah, Ares. Just the blanking. You know, Justice League had Steppenwolf, and it was all, this is the first one, you know, I guess since Man of Steel. And even though they were fighting people, that was, you know, fantastic power stuff, which was still cartoonish at times. But this is the first one that is person versus person.
Right.
You know,
theoretically. Aquaman will be out before that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. So Aquaman will be fighting war. I mean, I guess it'd be more like, yeah, he's going to be fighting Manta, Black Manta. So that is person to person and underwater.
But it's going to be underwater, so it'll look
right.
Yeah, so, but I'm okay with that.
No, I'm fine. That's, if Aquaman ain't fighting Black Manta, I mean, what the hell is he going to do? Like, that should be the first person that he, you know, his first nemesis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Should be Black Manta. So I'm all for it. That's, you shouldn't take that away from it. Like, that should not be the issue. Flashpoint. I don't. Okay.
Oh, I was just gonna say, and then we got the Joaquin Phoenix Joker announcement.
I am firmly in the opinion that I don't want a Joker origin anything. That's just me.
The mystique off of it.
You know, I mean, look, in the comics, there's hints at this, hints at that. Oh, maybe there's three of them, or you know, whatever. But if you're gonna give me a movie that shows him as a failed comedian going through this whole thing and building into what, you know, eventually becomes the Joker, I'm not interested. You know,
Did they say it was an origin movie? Or did they say...
Yeah.
And they're going to do a Killing Joke?
Well, he's a failed comedian in the 80s. So...
Because I can go for a crime-looking one. I mean, if it's going to be a crime movie of the Joker without fighting any superheroes, it's going to be the Joker
And I don't mind. It's supposed to be out of the extended universe.
Right.
So it's not like at the end, you know, Batfleck is going to show up.
Right.
But
I mean, Joker fighting criminals, I'd be fine with it. I mean, it's not the definitive version. If I can think of it as, you know, how they do the comics, like that's, you know, the miniseries or the...
But here's the problem I have with that, though. Like, me, you, Aaron, and the majority of our friends know that it's not going to be in the extended universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and it's going to be its one shot or its Elseworlds story. But then you have the average moviegoer that's going to go see it and then go see Flashpoint after or whatever comes after it, and they're going to be confused as shit.
I guess Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah.
Which will have the Jared Leto Joker.
Yeah. But I'd watch it. I don't care. I mean, I want it all. Look,
I will still go see it because I will go see every DC movie. But seeing an origin of the Joker is just not, it's not something that I need. That I would much rather have, you know, the mystery
behind. I don't need it, but I would love it if they did a... If they did it at the end of it, like he's over the body of whatever person he killed, like the whatever kingpin person he killed, and then they go, "Is this the Joker's origin, or is it all bullshit?" Like I'd leave it just like that. I'd straight up be F you to the audience. I'd be like, "Or it should just be all bullshit," and wink. I even have if whatchamacallit would do it. I'd even have what's his face. Jack Nicholson be the one like he's reading a bedtime story. Like it cuts to him reading a bedtime story and he winks and he says it's all bullshit and then he laughs. And that's how it ends. That'd
be excellent.
That's it.
That would be kind of cool.
Like just to tell the audience it was a cool little story, but you know.
Yeah.
It's definitive.
To Ronnie's point, where, you know, the average theater goer might be like, why is this, you know, why isn't Superman in this or whatever, you know, for, I guess, 10 years now, Marvel has been every single movie that they've done has all tied together. You know, like all the solo films have bits and pieces of the other things leading up to the big team up movies.
Right.
So I can see how people might be like, I don't understand, you know, where's Wonder Woman? How come she's not in this? Or how come, you know, if he's in Gotham, how come Batman's not showing up? You know, as long as they don't put like a lame Batman in this movie.
Yeah. We never trust the audience and we teach bad habits. Like, that's the thing. Like, you never trust the, like, even if they did if that Flashpoint movie where they got it's still happening. They even have directors and everything now. If that Flashpoint movie is to change up whatever, because, you know, Affleck is not going to be in it, if he's not going to be Batman anymore, whatever. I don't know. I'd just be like, I don't think it has to be that hard. I just would say at the end, like, I don't think it's something where you have to fix, like, the DC universe. I don't think it's broken.
Right.
Like, when people go, you have to fix it, that's usually some idiot thinking that it has to be exactly like the Marvel movies. And I don't think any of these movies should have to be the same. I want different. Like, I get tired of the Marvel movies because they're so, the same. I don't like them when they're the same. It shouldn't be the same. So, like, for... the only thing I would say they would have to fix, if anything, that they probably could happen is that they make it where when he comes back from Flashpoint and fixes everything, it doesn't automatically all fix just like in the book, everything is not exactly fixed the same. And they have it where they go, maybe the Justice League was formed earlier and Batman became Batman earlier. So you have a younger Batman or something, you know, like it doesn't have to be that it's an older, it's so an older Batman.
Have, so we can still have Gail as Wonder Woman and.
Right. Look, I don't think that she is going anywhere as that character. You know, I mean, there is no way that they're going to milk Wonder Woman for
there's no
75
reason.
More movies.
Like you have like Henry Cavill. There's no reason he can't be Superman. He is Superman. Just write. Just give him another movie.
Yeah.
Give him a good movie and he's fine. So if you have it come back where he comes back and the Hall of Justice is like all fixed up. And everybody has, you have a support staff there and you have, you know, he's walking in and you see other superheroes passing by, like Wonder Woman walks by him because she's supposed to be in Flashpoint. Like she's like, hey, Barry, how you doing? And he's like, what? Because he still remembers it the other way.
Right.
And he sees all this stuff. And then all you got to do is have Rip Hunter and not that little crazy Rip Hunter from Legion, from the Legends of Superman. A real good Rip Hunter, just have him come out of nowhere and go, hey, Barry, this is Rip. You know, I deal with time. I fix time. It's fixed, but there are some things that happens when you mess with time. That's why I don't do it anymore, dummy. And this is it's not exactly how you remembered it, but after a while, you will forget the other version and you will remember this one. But just know that you did it. You fixed it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's him telling the audience, this is why it looks like this.
Yep.
And they don't have to do a big thing. They don't have to build they don't have to do a story of building.
The credit scene.
Yeah, that could be the credit. I would probably put it before at the credit. People will walk out. People still walk out. So I would put it at the very end.
Right.
I would put the message that Rip gave him so that the audience can see that message.
Yeah.
And then you could put something cool in it. You know, at the after credit or whatever.
Yeah.
You can add something to it if you want to. But that's how I do it. And then I'd let the audience, like, I think the smartest thing, I think with something that when someone who is not used to doing these movies, these superhero movies, like the director that did Black Panther, he did not have to go through a whole thing of explaining Wakanda. He just said it. In like 2 minutes.
Right.
This is Wakanda. There's an herb that gives them power. The metal is special. 5 tribes. On with the story. Okay? If you're really that dumb and if you can't figure out the rest out of that, I don't know what to tell you.
But right.
This is the deal. That's it. You don't need to over-explain, I think. Marvel, Disney likes to sugar, you know, they like to feed the audience, so they keep it so simple. Yeah. They keep it so simple and to the point where it's, you know, numbing. It's mind numbing how simple it is. But you don't have to do all that. Just explain that really quick. Keep it going and just keep the story moving. And that's what they could do with the Flashpoint thing. They could just, you know, do that explanation real quick at the end. This is the deal, blah, blah, blah. And now you got the guy that's going to be Batman. You see him. This is Batman. He's a little younger. Right.
He doesn't have all the gray. Well, he could be even old enough to have a Robin, even.
Yeah, he could. They could do it that way. Well, they're still doing that Nightwing. They're still doing the Nightwing story movie.
Are they
still going? Yeah.
It was a live-action TV show.
No, that's a different.
No. You're thinking of Teen Titans.
Oh.
So they still have that Nightwing movie going. So if you know, they can have Nightwing and just have Tim. If they want to have Tim be Robin, they can have Tim be Robin.
Yeah.
Or they can go. I don't think they're going to go to Damian. That's a whole another can of stuff to have to figure out. But I think, they just do the Tim Drake thing and keep it moving. But it's not that hard. I mean, you know, audience isn't going to, you know, people are silly. There is going to be that bias with any WB movie. You just have to keep it moving and do the best movie you could do.
Yeah.
Like with Wonder Woman, the only people hated on Wonder Woman until Wonder Woman came out, and then all of a sudden they acted like, I always thought Wonder Woman was going to be great.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's just how people are, right? Yeah. So you have to do that. Just do the movie, make sure, you know, let the, you know, get a good director that knows what they're doing. And if it's a good movie, people will hate it on the beginning. If it's a good movie, it'll come out. And then all of a sudden people will pretend like it's not.
Well, and there's a way to force feed the audience without, like, shoving it down their throat, too.
Right. So it's like, you can't worry about it. Like, Shazam looks like it's going, and it's right off the page. And even with that, people are not happy. Like, it's, it looks like he came out of the comic book. He looks too muscular.
Yeah.
Look at the comics. I mean, that's how they look until you get the movie magic, but he's still going to be muscular. I mean, that's, you know, he's a superhero. It's, you know, he's supposed to be the embodiment of a child's imagination of what a superhero would look like, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the thing of this character. That's why he looks so crazy. That's why he's so cheesy, as they say. The big red cheese used to be his tag. So, I mean, nobody's ever going to be happy. So you just have to do it, and, you know, people will come to it later.
I just hope that they start selling underoos again, because I can never get the Shazam underoos.
They stopped. They'll probably go back to it, I'm sure. I mean, come on. How are you not? How are you not going to try to sell underoos?
Like,
come on. It's Justice League. You get all the underoos together.
Yeah.
That's how you do. You're gonna have Aquaman again. I mean, come on. You got Wonder Woman. You're gonna have Aquaman. Come on. You got Superman already. You got Batman. How are you not gonna have underoos?
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the movies a lot. I mean, I've enjoyed all of them. I just watched on the snow day we had this past week. We watched Man of Steel with my kids. It was the first time they'd seen it.
Oh, I love that movie.
I haven't watched it from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
In a while, and I forgot exactly how much I love that movie.
Oh, I love it. I do.
So good.
Yeah, every Donner nerd can't accept change.
Yeah.
I just never got anything out of having I didn't grow up getting beat up as a kid, so I don't give a shit about a Clark Kent that can't form a sentence.
Right.
When he talks to people, like. You know, like my Superman, I like the show, the version of it where it was a black and white show and then it was color. But he was a reporter he used to fight crime, though. He was a crime reporter. Like they were.
Yeah.
You know, he was nerdy a little bit. He was nerdy to the point of, you know, he pretended not to be able to fight. But they went after gangsters and stuff. I mean, they did stories on gangsters and whatnot. Like he used to give Lois shit for stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they used to go tit for tat in their conversations. He didn't walk around going, Lois, like, you know, that kind of nonsense. I don't get that. That's not my world. I don't know why people want every character to be awkward. Like, I didn't grow up with that shit. So I don't know what the point of that is. But I do. I think it's like, when they do that, it's they're bringing your own shit into it. Like if they were awkward, they want the characters to be awkward too. Like, and not all of us grew up, not all us nerds grew up the same way.
Right. Yeah. That's
you know, we touched women. we went outside. I mean, you know, we didn't all have the experience. Sports. Yeah. Some of us played sports and stuff.
Yes.
Like we all didn't have the experience of couldn't leave the house and was beaten every time we went to school. Like we all didn't go through the same thing. So I don't think we all need to, every character needs to be written the same way.
Right.
Like that. So, so I loved it. Like I love those questions, man. Like you got this dude that could do all this stuff. Like I love that kind of thing of like, if you're religious and you see this dude come out of nowhere that can fly and, he has super strength. It goes against everything in your religion.
Right.
Yeah. If he's not calling himself Jesus, right? It's like he goes against everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
It would make people scared.
Want to worship him?
Either. Yeah, it would either make people want to worship him and make some people scared of him and hate him. Mm-hmm. You see it online all the time. Like if Superman saved five people, there'd be some dude that'd be like, well, he didn't save my sister.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Last week when she fell off her bike, right? You get so much. He'd get Twitter hate. He'd get hashtag. Why didn't you save my family?
Not my Superman.
Yeah, you're not my Superman. You didn't save my family, right? You, Like, you would totally get it. Would not be this universal thing of we all love Superman. It wouldn't be that way.
But you see that in Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
You know, there are the people that look at him like he's a god and their savior. And then there's the other people who are like, you know, you ruined everything. And, you know,
it's all in there. It's all in there. It's just, you know, but people want to only see what they want to see. And they don't want to see that that happened. Like, he didn't even save anybody. And, you know.
Yeah.
Or why did he destroy the town? Because he had to fight like 10 dudes.
Yeah.
and they pretty much was like, if you don't come back, we're going to destroy the town.
Yep.
So what would you have him do? Kind of.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's the constant bitchers that have complaints instead of solutions.
Yeah. Or they don't watch the whole thing. They only want to. They don't watch the whole thing, or they don't read the whole comic, or it's the way the internet is. They only read one page.
They only read one negative review, and they know everything about it without watching or reading it.
Or they read one page of something and they go, oh, well, why did that happen? Or, you know, why is this the same? Like, the people who were saying, what was it? They were saying
Captain
America. but anything like the Batman one, where they were saying that the Batman story, the arc before this one, was the same exact comic story.
Oh, yeah.
As the action comics.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you read it though? Like, it was not the same. I mean, it had Wonder Woman and Superman. Like, the action comic story was basically a story of Lois trying to say she was recently with Superman. They have not been together that long. And in that story, it was Superman. They were asking what woman could possibly be with Superman. That was the story that Lois saw in a magazine, and it made her question herself.
Right.
Like, am I good enough to be with Superman? And just so happened in that book, Wonder Woman needed Superman to help her out with a case. They go off and they're trapped. For, you know, in that world, it went fast. Like, they, whatever time sped. Right.
Time wasn't right, also.
Right. So they had to fight in that world until they eventually were rescued. They were fighting with Thor and company. And in that world, and their Asgard or whatever, time went fast. And every time they thought they were finished with a battle, another battle would come. Because they didn't realize Thor is like just a fighter. So his thing was, we need your help, but he forgot to tell them their fights last for centuries almost.
Right.
In their world. Right. In their magical world. But then they get brought back. And they almost had a moment because he was alone for all that time and they almost kissed. That was it. The Batman one was a totally different story. It was Catwoman and
the gentleman.
They changed places. Like this dude who was fighting these battles every, you know, he had to fight constantly. There was no rest. And he left his girlfriend and wife to do this thing, this noble thing. And so, you know, when he asked a favor, if you could switch out and let me talk to my wife, you know, let me be in the world for a minute. And then I come back and then, but they didn't realize how fast the time went. And, you know, and there was a whole thing of them being over there. Like, it's already different. Like, it's not even a thing of Catwoman saying, should I be with Batman or not? It wasn't even that type of story.
Right.
But that's how people are, though. They look at it and they go, oh.
And it sucks, too, because it's like all that controversy like took how good, in my opinion, that story actually was.
Yeah. But people jump to say, hey, you know, that's my thing. If you don't like the story, that's fine. Like, that's not a big deal if you don't like the story. But the need to jump and say or complain about something that didn't happen, that's when I go, oh, come on. If you're going to complain about the storytelling, that's fine. But, like, he can take that. I mean, he's a big boy. When you go with storytelling, that's fine. But people throw shit at him sometimes where it's like, that didn't even happen in the story. And it's like, did you read it? No, you went on Bleeding Cool or something and you just saw the page they shared. And now you want to get online and be mad and say, why did this happen?
At C2E2... When I have Tom sign some more books, I'm going to have him draw Daryl the Dead Butler sketch for me on one of them.
Oh, I'm still working on the miniseries. Still working on that miniseries. It's got to happen.
Because I was trying to get him to, but we were like the last one. So, and then we got to talking about how Chris sucks at football. And then, yeah, you know, you're you always like revamped all the time.
And dead. That's my power. I just get killed and brought back.
Yeah. You were a white butler here not too long ago.
Oh, I was everyone. I was a white kid. A white butler. I was a cab driver. I was a melding of two people. I was a zombie once.
You were a janitor.
As a janitor. I was what else was I? I was a Borg once. I was a Starfleet officer. I was a renegade pirate. I've been through a lot.
Well, you guys got anything else before we wrap this one up?
I am good.
Yeah, I think you're good.
All right. Oh, we didn't talk Bendis.
Oh,
Aaron.
Well, we'll get to it next time. We'll make sure to bring it up next time.
Okay.
I guess for everybody, thank you for listening to this week's episode, and thank you to our special guest Daryl Taylor of the Taylor Network of Podcasts. If you would like to tweet at me directly, you can get in touch with me at Aaron S. Bell.
And I'm at Rombar316.
Daryl, tell everyone where we can find you.
I'm at TheVoice123 on Twitter.
Any podcasts you want to plug?
Well, you can just, if you're on iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher Radio, you can just look up Taylor Network. And we have, you know, the Taylor Network feed and all the podcasts are on that network, and we have a bunch, so you can just take your pick, see what you like.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for coming on with us, and thank you all for listening. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com. Totally confused. Shut up. I hate you. Forget it. Podcast over. Shut up. You're not my real dad.